I wanted to talk about the Dancer on the Rainbow Bridge, which is a different way of looking at art, but rather the experience of art, or perhaps rather the expression of art, best possibly said as being art, and art again in a very literal sense. Previously I spoke about art as the hinge between that what is and that what can be, and it is that transition between reality and realization where your actual involvement makes all the difference. And what I would like to address now is, let's say, the mystic state of the artist, or the artist being the Pope, a Pope being a God being acting through the body so that the universe can do what is needed to be done there where you stand. And then art is a very practical and sensible and relevant thing to do. There are a couple of ideas which are all tied in with that. Perhaps a good starting point will be that of the notion of Shiva, Shiva the dancer. And then later on I will build that up to the understanding of the Dancer on the Rainbow Bridge, which is the Nordic concept of essentially the role that you have in the reality as a realization when you function as a creator in creation. A creator in creation having the double meaning that you are a creator in creation, which is an ongoing process of the environment, but as a creator you're also still in development. So as a creator you are still in creation. So there's this double-sidedness of, let's say, creation as a noun and creation as a verb, which connects up to the realization as a noun and realization as a verb. So when you're working as a creator in creation, noun and verb, that's what you do. Let's call it dharma in the old Indian terminology. And that will have effect on the environment, which in India would be called karma, which is the realization as a noun and the realization as a verb. You're making things real, but as a consequence you will experience them as if real. Actually, they're not real. Reality is not real, because if you come back a million of years earlier or later, you'll discover that a lot of things are very fundamentally different. If you come back a billion years earlier or later, the star where you're hanging out on might not even be there. So everything around us is very relativistic indeed. So the notion that classical science would describe the world around us is just a microscopic view in time on what's happening now. It's a snapshot picture of an ongoing process. Once you understand that there is an ongoing process, that creation is an ongoing creation, then you know that things are not fixed. Classical descriptions do not apply, except for a snapshot perhaps, and that you must always realize that things are relative to something that was before and something that comes after. It's always a process. And once you understand that things are not scientifically fixed at a snapshot mindset, but that they are ongoing processes of change, the artistic process, then you can even go up to the deeper level that those processes are actually transformations in different environments, so that the reality that we have now is no more than the oak tree which has grown out in a specific shape in the forest or in the field or by the oceans or on top of the mountains, and as a consequence of that environment will have the shape that it shows. Likewise, every anatomy is the consequence of the physiology that created it. The reality is the consequence of the process by which it is formed. So the notion that reality is real is very limited. And even though scientists love to take that perspective and love to generalize that perspective and love to present that perspective as universally valid, they actually know that is not the case, because they knew that the matter they looked at was actually molecular. And that's where they then introduced the theory of relativity. It was based on the grass seed floating on water doing the Brownian movement. So the theory of relativity came out of that. Quantum theory was actually based on a deeper level of understanding that at the atomic level there are electrons jumping in and out all the time. There's a cloud of electrons, like bees around a beehive, of these atoms. And that basically relativity theory is only what happens at the molecular level. At the atomic level, you need to have this quantum electrodynamic model. And once you understand that, things work out really nicely and well at that level. With a deeper understanding, it's now clear that all these electron jumps are actually connected or sparked off by photon jumps, or rather quantum jumps, and that the quantum jumps is essentially a phase change, say from one orbit to another orbit, or however you want to call it. At the most fundamental level, is a change of phase, and that the reality that we live in is at the same time material, molecular, atomic, and subatomic. And that is what we find in our body. In our body, we find that it is material, which is called the anatomy, the molecular, which is called the physiology, the atomic, which is called the neurocrine system, the electromagnetic regulation system of the body. And at the deepest level, the quantum level, we have the consciousness level of the body. So in our body, we are a bridge between the physical and the metaphysical. Matter, molecules, atoms, and the quantum field. Quantum field, not tangible at all. Matter, fully tangible. And in between, you have the matter dissolving as molecules, or the molecules evaporating as atoms, and the atoms appearing or disappearing depending on the quantum leaps. And that is the rainbow bridge which the Nordic cultures described, that our body is actually the connection between the physical and the metaphysical. And as all of the world cultures already realized, there is that alchemical relationship between matter, molecules, atoms, and information, which the Vikings then called ice, water, mist, and steam, and the alchemists call it earth, water, air, and fire. We would call it solid, liquid, gas, and plasma. It is always the same terminology for exactly the same principle, that there is a relationship between a state, a process, a transformation, and integration, as system theory so neatly describes it. So once you understand that system theory describes alchemy, and that alchemy describes the four phases of reality, which are actually four states of phase coherence in the electromagnetic field, then everything becomes very simple. And then you can also understand that our body is at the same time physical and molecular and atomic and pure information. And actually, if you've ever seen somebody who's dead, then you can see that this information field is lacking, so that you can actually then see that you do not see something which otherwise you did not see, but actually did see. That sounds a bit confusing, but it is no more than when the clock stops ticking, you suddenly hear that it had been ticking. When somebody died, you suddenly notice that the electromagnetic field, the information field, is no longer there. You never saw it because it was so evident, but once it is absent, you know that the cadaver is just the material stuff, and that the living stuff is no longer there. And that makes very clear that the living stuff is immaterial, and that the matter has just been architecturally composed around the first cell, so that the first cell could carry life and give that a handle on Earth. The Nordic understanding was very clear, and they know that this is what's happening in their descriptions of the, say, the lower realm and the upper realm. So they have the lower realm, the middle realm, and the upper realm, and essentially that is the physical side of our body, the metaphysical side of the body, and in between had the body functioning itself. In all of the world cultures, you can find it described as the set of the chakras. The chakras are essentially a formulation, now related to the light field, of this relationship between physical and metaphysical. So that in the body, you can see that at the bottom, there is, as you would see it in a rainbow, the color red. At the top, you have the color blue or violet. And in between, you have the color yellow. So the lower realm of the Vikings would be that red realm. The middle realm, where you have your identity and that what you do when you walk your body on the earth, is the solar plexus, or the integrative factor between bottom and top. And the upper realm is where you can work with the realm of ideas, or the realm of the gods, or the principles of creation. So once you understand that, then the dancer on the rainbow bridge is you, and the rainbow bridge is your body, or in a different terminology, it is the chakra system. If you haven't looked into the chakra system yet, then this is a very nice time to do so and understand that in the same way as in the light spectrum of the rainbow, you have the low frequencies or the slow frequencies and the high frequencies or fast frequencies. In your body, you have the slow processes, say the anatomy. You have the quicker processes, the physiology. You have the still quicker processes of the regulatory system. Of course, it needs to be quicker because it needs to regulate the processes. And you have the quickest system, which is that of the information system, which is not physical at all. It's that what the cells respond to. So then you know that the dancer on the rainbow bridge is the body, but it's also the cell. And now let me connect that to the understanding of the artist or the creator in creation. The creator in creation, or the artist, the artist as the artus, the link between the physical and the metaphysical, is the one who can actually have an idea and chisel it in stone. You can actually, using your body, get an idea from the idea space and walk your talk and put it on the planet and sculpt the earth accordingly. And yes, you have the choice to make or break the planet. You can have the choice to make or break your body. You can be attentive to what your body can do. You can be attentive to what the earth is doing. And then you can enhance everything that's going on here. Or you can be totally disrespectful of yourself and of your environment. And then what you will create will contradict or juxtapose or interfere with what's going on here. So you have the choice to improve the living conditions here or to make them worse. And that is the nice or the nasty things about freedom of choice. It can go either way. You can create paradise on Earth by having excellent ideas and making the planet and the people around you go to a higher level of consciousness, which means that they're more connected with themselves, with each other, with all other life forms and with the planet. Or you can disrupt that connection and put them in hell and be diabolical, which means that essentially you work as a devil, and devil is the evil, and evil is simply life spelled backwards. So if you go against life, it becomes evil. It's simple as that. So the dancer on the rainbow bridge is the let's say the personification of your capacities as a creator in creation, or as an artist, being the art of the link between spirit and matter. There are descriptions of this in India, where it's called Shiva, Shiva the creator, Shiva the destroyer. And at that level, you see that there is a more detailed description than that of the dancer on the rainbow bridge. Again, the rainbow bridge is your body, and the rainbow is the colors of the chakra system in your body, and the dancer is you. And as a dancer, you can be a creator or a destroyer. I mentioned that before. So that means that you are actually Shiva. And as you can then find in the image of Shiva Nataraj, which is say the this, the Ouroboros of creation, or the snake of the process of manifestation. Shiva has four arms, because Shiva is actually male and female combined. And when you look at the statues of Shiva, you can see it's half male and half female. Breast on one side, not on the other. Penis on one side, vagina on the other. It is actually the man and the woman together being the human. And only as human can the man and the woman produce a human. So the man alone, or the woman alone, is only half of the story, and you need the whole story to be able to function as a human in humanity. When you look at the Shiva and the Shakti side of the story, you can see that the male is more neuronal, the female is more hormonal, and both combined lead to a state where the neuronal and the hormonal balance out, and as a result of that balance, say the chemical and the electromagnetic levels become integrated, become one, and they actually speed up. It's a kind of laser device in action, as a result of which a kind of hologram of information can be formed, a coherent information field, which can then be seen as the halo around people, or the aura around people. And that intensification of the neuron and the hormonal is also what is found in the sexual activity, physical activation leading to a physiological activation, leading to a neurological activation, leading to a consciousness raise. So Shiva is an expression of that understanding, that you need to have both sides of the stories to have the whole story. From the male perspective only, or from the female perspective only, you don't have the whole picture. And that also means that all of those societies where males and females are not in balance are basically out of balance. They cannot get the whole picture, because either they are more neuronal, which means that they are most often into war and rape, or they are more hormonal, which means that they are busy with the land and child caring. But if you want to have a culture, you actually want to get to a level where that what the male and the female can do in having a child, which is a new human, can connect to something which the male and the female and the child are, which is an element of humanity. So in being the art between the physical and the metaphysical, as we are as dancers on the rainbow bridge, as Shiva, the creator of, or the destroyer, and it's your choice if you're the creator or the destroyer, but it is something else to go to a level from your own consciousness to transcendental consciousness. And transcendental consciousness being that what you experience is no longer seen or experienced as you doing it, but that through the eyes of your sexual partner, and this again is about male and female balancing each other, that the neuronal and the hormonal perspective complement each other, and that something unfolds like you can find in stereo, that the one loudspeaker and the other loudspeaker are suddenly discovered to be singing the same song, and that a new space opens up between them, and that is the creative space where the artist then finds the space to be the dancer on the rainbow bridge. That is the space of the newness, or the space of the unknown, or the space of the as yet unborn, if you look at in the sexual interaction. It is that space between the male and the female which can be more defined the less the one tells the other what to do. The one loudspeaker doesn't tell the other loudspeaker what to do. The one loudspeaker has one part of the story, the other loudspeaker has the other part of the story, and together they discover that they are singing the same song, the Bhagavad Gita, of the whole story. And if people do not realize that they are singing the same song, they evidently cannot partner up as partners or as sexual partners. And as a result, they cannot unfold the wholeness of the song into that other dimension, which can only come out in the space between the one left loudspeaker and the right loudspeaker. So the creative potential or the creative capacity lies in stepping out of your own body and mind, so to say, and stepping into that shared non-body and non-mind, so to say, that exists between the partners, that you live your life within the body and you take care of your body and you ensure the quality of the health of your body, and with your body you do what only you can do, and the other is not a mommy or daddy needing to take care of you, and the other is not a baby that needs your care. A lot of these love songs go into that skew balance of be my baby now or mommy and daddy here and there, but that you're actually adult versus adult. You live your life, the other lives the other's life, and together you discover that there are things where you do things the same or where you need to do the same things, and then you can choose to do those things that you need to do for yourself together, or that the one does what both need and the other does something else that both need, as a result of which things go double so fast. And that's actually the system, the principle of synergy, that when you can do things together, you can do one thing and another thing. So instead of having a linear kind of life experience, you can do the process which goes the one direction, the process going the other direction. In mathematics, you would say you have one vector and another vector, and the two vectors create a space, a plane, a domain. So that space that opens up between the loudspeakers is quite tangibly there. If you share tasks and don't assign tasks. Because if you assign tasks, then basically the one does the one task, the other does the other task, and you're at right angles with respect to each other, so to say. Yeah? You live separate lives even though you're connected up. And most marriage contracts end up in that kind of desolate situation, that the one does the one thing, the other does the other thing, and never the twain shall meet. But if you do what you need to do and the other does what the other needs to do, then one time you will do that one task and the other time the other will do that task, and the other way around. So in the Western world, child care, for example, can be done by both parents. Breastfeeding can be done by one parent. Finding food can at that same time be done by the other parent. So once you understand the complementarity of activities, and then you can also see how much richer the experience can be of people working together. And that exemplifies this dancing floor, had the area between the loudspeakers, that conjoined space where people can do things together, which is then the platform for the expression of the art of the new and the unknown. So once you understand that, then you can see that art is that ability to give form, or at a more deeper level, to put in action a feeling of or an idea, or the feeling of an idea that you wish to explore and develop. And as you might know, you could be born in any of very many different cultures and countries, and all of these countries have, let's call it, different game rules, so that every country or every culture allows you or affords you a possibility to behave differently. And you can actually choose what kind of country to live in for the kind of behavior you want to experience. A century or more ago, the United States of America was a space where people could be themselves together with each other. They could create their own communities and create their own lifestyle, because there was so much space that people actually could live separately. There was so much land. But that land has now been filled up. All those different communities have become interconnected, and they have come down to a common denominator. Rules were imposed, and as I said, at the moment that you'd start to prescribe conduct or behavior in relationship, then you limit the creative capacities. And as a result, the United States of America is now no longer that land of the free as it was before. It is also called no longer the land of the brave, but in fact the land of the slave, because money is now so dominant there, as in so many other countries as well. So once you realize that creative capacity has to do with having the space to do that, and having the other component, the imagination, to do that, then you understand that the dancer on the rainbow bridge is actually that. That your body is the platform in which you can dance your life on Earth. And then you have the choice which nation or culture you would like to live in, to express that, or have better possibilities to express that. So you simply move to the landscape or the nation, the culture, where those thoughts that you are dancing are expressed. As the Bunters would say, which dance do you dance? Because once you know the dance that people are dancing, you can also know how people can complement each other. So out of that, you then, in that culture where you then are because you chose to be there, and in the landscape where you then are because you chose to be there, you have a condition of nature and culture in which you will probably find like-minded people who have the same fundamental needs or desires or expressions or ambitions. And so that amongst them, you will find others with which you can go from the dancer on the rainbow bridge to the dance of Shiva, the male and the female in connection. But still, the whole principle is not so much about the dancer on the rainbow bridge, or Shiva the dancer, but the dance on the rainbow bridge and the dance of Shiva. Yes, you are the dancer, so you're the one to act on it and to put it in action, and it doesn't much matter what kind of artistic medium you use. Some people think that money is an artistic medium, some people know that the earth is an artistic medium. Evidently there are people who know that painting or singing or music or dancing is an artistic medium. In fact, anything you do can be the artistic medium of your art, of your life. And many monasteries understand that. So in that sense, the chores in a monastery are actually exercises of development of specific abilities and capabilities. It's well known in the movie Karate Kid, where the exercise of waxing a car, wax on, wax off, actually had a deeper and different meaning. And likewise, the Buddhist and other monastic trainings are aware that keeping the monastery clean is a general practice of knowing how to keep yourself and your environment clean. And it awakens a notion and an experience and a capability to maintain cleanliness. So that's a starting point for learning, let's say, hygiene, which would be a starting point for learning healer, which would be a starting point for somebody can help a culture develop. So there are so many different palettes on which you can put your paints off the kind of activities which you collect in what you can do. And evidently, basic skills that people would require is cooking skills, householding skills, massage skills, healing skills, translator skills, writing skills, administration skill, mathematical skills, and so on. so that you have this kind of backpack or medicine pouch in which you collect all your different skills, and every new skill in a way opens a new world around you, or opens a new world for you. And that, of course, was the whole notion of the medicine pouch, that when the Indians went on their walkabout, and they would have an experience, that there would be something to symbolize that shift in their realization, that they knew that I can now do that too, and they would have a small token of it in their medicine pouch, so that it in their way was their passport into their inner world of what they can do in the outer world. So once you understand that, then you also know that as a creator in creation, you are the artist of your own life, and you can make it a lousy life or you can make it a wonderful life. You can make it a solitary life or you can make it a social life. You have all these choices. Those are basically part of the art of creation. Once you have that realization that you are the dancer on the rainbow bridge, and combined with that understanding of Shiva the dancer, that actually you are only half of the story, you're mono instead of stereo, until you pair up with somebody who can complement you, can mirror you, can amplify you, can give you the space that you need to experience yourself, then you can also understand that it's not you being the dancer, or you and your partner being the dancer, or you, your partner, and children joining you in your dance, but that actually all of the people around you too are dancers, and that they too are dancers on the rainbow bridge, and that they too are Shiva, creators, destroyers, and that in that sense you can realize that all of humanity is composed of dancers, and with some of them you can see that their rainbow bridge is brittle. Perhaps they have a body afflicted with scars of ancestral memories, as a result of which the body doesn't fully function, or maybe the body has scars of their own erratic behavior, as a result of which they inflicted damages on the body or created diseases within the body. So there's all these people who keep on thinking that they get a better emotional feeling by eating cake and ending up by having diabetes and going blind and losing their limbs. It is not about masturbating a specific emotional state, but discovering and exploring all of the relationships that you can have with your hormones, with your neurons, and with them in both combined activity, so that you can share that also with others. And as a result, then you discover that it's not you just being a dancer on the rainbow, or you and your partner and children being Shiva the dancer as creators in creation, but that you can also create communities, call it monasteries, call it cooperatives, where people do their own thing together. And as a result of sharing their abilities and capabilities, are able to much better support themselves, because they can at the same time support others, and others can support them. And then from being a solitary dancer or a Shiva paired dancer, you then a group of dancers, a dancing community. And the Sufis and other schools are very well aware of that, and they operate in that manner too. So that your artistic skills are wider developed, but also more appreciated. And that you can also have a wider range and scope of what artistic developments in you you want to explore. And again, it doesn't much matter what you do. It doesn't much matter what conditions you do it in. Because the only real art of being the artist lies in how you relate to your hormones and your neurons, how your thoughts and emotions or actions are integrated or disintegrated, and how thereby you are a creator or a destroyer of the environment that you live in. And in that way, you as an artist always have the choice if you create hell or heaven on earth. And that essentially is the fundamental choice of the artist. Are you going to create, are you going to destroy, or are you just going to hang about and wait till it's all gone and done? Good luck to you.